some words from Genesis chapter 2. It's going to be verses 8 and 9, and then we're jumping to 15, just because the middle verses just talk about four rivers who I can't pronounce. So you can read them for yourselves. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life is also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to till and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day you eat that, you shall die." I heard a message in a church about 4 weeks ago, and I can't remember a word that was said, except for four points or principles that were brought out. And as soon as I heard them, they just related to me. I knew God was not so much telling me something new as showing me how these principles had worked and had been part of my life and ministry and Linda's life and ministry, and how much they rang true right from back here in Genesis. So I'll just read through it again and maybe stop at certain points. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Just to make a sort of mental note as we go on there, that there's a real emphasis, not just he put trees and plants and things, but trees in this case, but he put trees that were pleasant to the sight. If we wanted to use stronger words than that, then the language allows us to, as it were, in the Bible. They were gorgeous. They were delightful. It's quite a strong word. Pleasant, we can think, pleasant's a bit of a soft word. Much stronger than that. They were absolutely great. And that's God for you, isn't it? That's what he does. He does things that for us, when we're really with him, they are just great. And as far as the food went, it was good. It was really good. It was tasty. It was just what they wanted. It was everything they needed. So just remember that the trees and the plants were delightful and the food was fantastic. Cherry trees. Thank you, John. Thank you. There we go. You see, they were all there. All the things we like. All there. Pear trees. Right. Are we finished? Right. And good for... Sorry?
I just love trees.
Love trees. Because they're pleasant to the sight. Aren't they? When occasionally... Well, a bit more on occasion. My dad and I go for a walk down to... Raby Gardens, and I don't think, particularly in the winter, but it'll be in the summer as well, I don't think we ever go down without my dad saying, "Look at those trees," because they are amazing. You can just stop and you look at them, you look at the shapes, they are great. And God made things that are pleasant to look at because he wants us. That's how he created us, to live surrounded by things that are pleasant, things that are delightful, things that are good, because that's who he is. We will get back to this in a moment. The tree of life was in the middle of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was also in the garden. Now, verse 15. The Lord God took the man. Now, or put, as most versions will say, but not all. Put is a perfectly good word. There's nothing wrong with the word put. It just doesn't quite get at what the Bible is saying here, and it's an important difference. But if you look at some translations, the NASB, for instance, there's a number of others, they use the word placed. And put isn't wrong, but placed is better. So, here we go. That's what this is for. If somebody came into our house, pretend this is me coming to our house, and it's not our house, it's somebody else's house. And they say, I say, what else should I do with my coat? And they say, just put your coat over there. I've done exactly what they've said. I've put my coat over there. I could have put it on that speaker, I could have put it on that speaker, I could have put it over there, but I put my coat over there. That's quite right, nothing wrong with that. However, if I'd come in with maybe a gift for them, and I said, what would you like me to do this? And they said, well, could you just place it on the keyboard, please? There we go. Now, they could have said put it, but place has something about it that put doesn't. And even in our language, place has something about it that put doesn't. So that put, the emphasis is on the action, just put it down somewhere. Doesn't much matter where, just put it down. Place has the emphasis on the location. You're still putting it, but you are placing it somewhere specific. And it's quite important here that the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden. This was a conscious and deliberate placing by God. Yes, he put him there, but he placed him in the garden that God had created for humans. And that is important. Place is important. The notion of being in the right place is often important to us. And places generally can be really important in our lives for all sorts of reasons. And place is important. And in this particular verse, I believe the man, humans, having been placed where God wanted them, in the place God created for them, is important. So put's not wrong, placed is better. And you'll see as we go on how this sequence of points becomes, I think, very important for us as Christians. So I started to think of my life and ministry, and placed is interesting because I believe God places us in all sorts of ways. He places us. But this is one of the sort of mysteries of faith, as it were, because we still make decisions. We still make choices. And yet, so often we find out that we feel more as though God's placed us than we've actually chosen, even though we have made decisions and choices. And it's a bit like that scripture that says, many are the plans and purposes in a man's heart, but the Lord directs his footsteps. We still have purposes, we still have plans, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when we are followers of Jesus, and we are really conscious about wanting to be in the place where he wants us to be, so often, even through our decisions and choices, we find he has placed us. But we don't often realize that till we look back and we see the reasons why he placed us. They're not immediately evident, but God places his people. And he does that. It's a mystery. We could get tangled up now in trying to work that out. Don't. A mystery is a mystery. And a mystery in scriptural terms, certainly in the Bible, isn't something that, like detectives, we have to solve. It's one of the ways God operates that we accept in faith. And I think many of us will recognize the experience I've just said. We know we've made decisions, we know we've made choices, but we suddenly find ourselves and we think, God's placed me here. And I think many of us will know that to be true. And throughout my life, certainly, and Linda and our ministry, time after time, God has placed us. Yes, we have made the decisions, and yes, we have had the choices, but subsequent events showed us that God had placed us. When I left university, I got the opportunity to work overseas. We were looking at Canada, we were looking at Australia, we were looking at South Africa. I had choices. I chose South Africa. I believe God placed us there with what happened, the way in which we became Christians. What he did in our lives while we were there, what he did in my mum and dad's life when they came. That was God through and through. Did we make the choices? Yes. Did God place us there? Yes, he did. Why? Because he had purposes for us. We'll come on to those in a minute. When I left South Africa, needed a job in this country because I knew I had a call to ministry. I didn't know when it would be or exactly what it would be. And I was going for interviews, and I went for an interview. I had to go down to Margate for an interview. And the guy who was interviewing me, for some reason, kept calling me Tiger. I don't know why. I hated that. I don't know why. It must have been just something he said. And what he did was he said, what I'd like you to do, this is how long ago it was, he had a blackboard in his office, and he gave me a bit of chalk, honestly. He said, I'd like you to sketch, wait for this, an atomic absorption spectrometer and indicate how it works. I thought, never even heard of one. They sold atomic emission spectrometers, something completely different. I thought, this is a bit lateral, that you don't even sell them. Turns out they were preparing to make them, and the job was to sell the things. So I thought, well, I know how the atomic emission spectrometer works, sort of. So it's got to be something like that, only like the reverse, I don't know. So I drew some stuff on the board and flanneled a bit, and he gave me the job. And honestly, he did. And quite a few months later, when I got to know him, I said, look, I've got to ask you this. Why did you give me the job? Because what I wrote on that board was absolute nonsense. He said, yeah, I know, it was rubbish. He said, but I saw somebody who was going to make a salesman. Because that's what the job was. As it happens, that job, and by the way, the American owner of the company, they had a lot of integrity. They didn't allow the salesman to sell rubbish like that. He did teach us what he did and so on and so forth. But we look back, and that job, just for 4 years, meant we had to move house. God placed us. It meant we actually earned sufficient for what we didn't know then was going to happen. And God suddenly called me out of that job, just very suddenly, time to go to Bible college. And that was that. So we found that we had a house that had appreciated in value sufficiently. We had sufficient money in the bank that I could leave work. And Linda and Dad, was it one kid then or two? One kid. That'd be Daniel then. Linda and Daniel moved in with me, Mum and Dad, and I tiddled off down to Bible college in Sheffield, and all the resources were there. And I looked back and I thought, I know why South Africa was the chosen place. For what happened, Christians left the country, God, it just all flowed. Last one where I look back and see where, even though I made the choices and decisions, and Linda and I did, God placed us for a purpose. When I candidated for the Methodist ministry, a number of you know this story, I was at Bible college. When I candidated means you just put your name forward to become a Methodist minister, basically. A little bit more than that, but that's essentially it. And I was at Bible college, but one of the really important things you've got to do when you are going into the Methodist ministry, you have to stand up in front of all the leaders in that district, quite a big district, and give your testimony. And that's the starting point for getting into the Methodist ministry. And mine happened to be on a Tuesday night. I was in Derbyshire, and I think it was elsewhere in Derbyshire I was supposed to go and give my testimony, but I forgot. I just didn't turn up. I was doing something at the Bible college, and the next morning, the minister who was sponsoring me to go into the Methodist church phoned up and said, Adrian, where were you last night? I said, oh, I was at Cliff College. I was in the sort of house group thing. Why? He said, it was your testimony service. That is the first gateway into the Methodist ministry. I said, oh, no, what happened? He said, well, I gave you testimony and that was okay. So just God provided, often along with my choices, often despite my foolishness, all the way through. And I see a principle we're going to look at, working in my life. And I believe working in the lives of all of those who are followers of Jesus, who are seeking to be with him, who are seeking his will, and we're seeking his purposes. So let's move on. The Lord took the man and placed him in the garden. Bit of a mystery, but that's the way God works. To till it and keep it. There was the purpose. There was a purpose there. God placed them. He put his people there to till it, to keep it, to look after it. Now, as it happens, I believe that particular purpose still holds for us to care for and look after the creation, God's creation. But as a principle, it goes beyond that. God has purposes for his people. And I believe God places us for a purpose. That might be forever, it might not be forever, it might be for a season, it might be for a week, a month, a year. But God places us when he has a purpose for us. And I'm sure many of us can look back in our lives and think, yeah, that is exactly what happened. We probably won't know what the purpose is when he does the placing or when we're doing the choosing or whatever it is we think we're doing. And we look back and we see that God was at work throughout as we see and begin to understand the purpose that he had in that placement. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden." And there's God's provision. God had in that garden provided everything they needed. You may freely eat from any tree. Let's leave aside the tree knowledge of good and evil. We're not even going to touch on that today because it's not important for this particular set of principles. But any tree, there is God's provision. So he places, he gives purpose, and then he provides in order that we and that purpose can be working in harmony with him. What I find interesting here is that God provides, but notice what their purpose was: to till it, to look after the land, to guard it, to treat it properly. In other words, the continued provision from God was dependent on their continued operation within his purposes. So they tilled it and guarded it, and it became more fruitful and provided more. If they stopped in that purpose, then they would find the provision of God began to dry up because they had stepped outside of the purpose for which he had placed them. My guess is I'm not the only person here who has experienced that in their lives or ministry. When we know that for whatever reason we have stepped outside or drifted away from where God wants us or from the purpose he gave us, and we find suddenly that the provision we'd enjoyed and experienced wasn't quite as forthcoming. Now, I'm not just talking about God placing us in physical places. He may be placing us in a particular area of ministry. He may be placing us in a particular set of circumstances in our lives. But he has a purpose. And when we know that we are seeking God's place, when we are pursuing his purpose, we will receive his provision for that purpose. There's no doubt about that. That's a principle throughout Scripture. God has promised it numerous times, and we see it right here in Genesis chapter 2. Now, we do get to the last bit. You shall not eat. There's a prohibition. God prohibits. Now, let's be honest, he didn't overburden Adam and Eve with prohibitions, did he? There was one. Don't eat from that tree. All the rest of them, look at them, they're fantastic, they taste great. You can have any of them, just leave that one alone. Well, we all know the end of that story. And don't we all experience that in our lives as well? You don't do that. That's what I'm going to do. Got to find out what it's like. I'm going to do that. A prohibition. And of course, as soon as they said to God, "Yeah, well, all right, we're going to try it anyway," what happened? The provision, gone. The relationship with God and that sense of purpose, gone. There were lessons to learn. Big lessons to learn. And I think we'll all know that truth as well. There are prohibitions in the New Testament, lots of them. They're not like laws, but set aside anger, malice, gossip. Whenever you read "set aside," that's God saying, don't do that, because it's not good for what I'm about in your life. We will find ourselves, every time we stray down that path, we will find ourselves growing more distant from the Father, not because he's moved, but because we've moved. And he only tells us that stuff for our own good. That's all. Read through the New Testament. You will find things like, do not. You know, in your anger, do not sin. Well, why? Because it damages us. It distances us from him. It distances us from his purpose in our lives. It distances us from his provision in our lives. So place, purpose, provision, and if you prefer a word with B, I like the P's myself, prohibition, boundaries. God has put some boundaries. Now, any good parent bringing up children puts boundaries in place. Not for the parent's good, for the child's good. And I know we like to think, you know, we're really adult and grown up and know everything. Compared to God, we are the merest of children in terms of our knowledge of what's good for us and what isn't. We blow it time and time again. I don't know, maybe you lot don't. I do. Time and time again. And every time you do, you think, I wish I hadn't. Because I knew what was going to happen. I feel distance from God. I've got to go back. I've got to repent. I've got to go back. But the principle there is, I believe, God places us in a physical place, in a place of ministry, in a circumstance or a situation. And when we've got that sense where we feel the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, I've placed you here, the next question is, for what purpose? What's the purpose, Lord? And as we discover that purpose in that place, we discover his provision. And there will be boundaries all the time. And they're good for us. Because he says he disciplines us like children. There's nothing wrong with appropriate discipline for children. There's everything right about it. And often we see where that appropriate discipline hasn't been in place, the kids are wild. And that happens to us spiritually as well. So maybe I'm the only one who discerned God working through place, purpose, provision, and prohibitions. But I bet I'm not. I bet I'm not at all. So what questions do we ask ourselves as a result of those? Well, are you, am I, at this moment, at this time in our journey, are we where Jesus wants us to be? Perhaps physically, location-wise, perhaps in terms of what ministry he's got, perhaps in terms of circumstances and situations, are we? That's the question we need to ask, and only we can answer. Why is this important? I think it's self-evident why it's important. So, Lord, give us wisdom. Open the eyes of our heart. Lord, we want to be exactly where you want us to be. Whether it's here at the vineyard, whether it's here in this area, whether it's in the ministry God has called or is calling us to, whether it's in a particular type of service, we want to be where you want us to be. And Lord, we want to begin to understand your ongoing purpose and purposes in our lives. And sometimes we realize we won't grasp that immediately. And I've shared this again before, because this was spoken to me. How old am I now? 64 this year. So this was about 37 years ago when I heard Gerald Coates, if you're old enough you remember his name, Gerald Coates preach a message on God is always doing more behind your back than he's doing in front of you. And every now and then when he's ready, he'll reveal and then you're off again. And that's the case so often. It's not till we sort of look back and see what God's been doing that we realize his purposes. So Lord, lead us into your place for us. Strengthen us, Lord, for your purposes for us. Give us the gifts and the resources and the provision for your purposes and your calling on our lives. And Lord, make us sensitive to the boundaries. Lord, may we not wantonly step over them. And when we do, Lord, may we be swift to repent, to be restored, to be renewed. Amen.